Holy in their hearts, rejoicing, praising God, getting their hearts ready for the preaching service. Turn your Bibles, please, to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 22. Talking this morning about a very important subject. Of course, everything in the Word of God is so important. But we're going to talk about worship. The word worship, both in the Greek and the Hebrew, the Old Testament and New, it means to bow down, to prostrate oneself. It means to get your heart humble before God and recognize who He is. Give Him all the glory and all the praise. It's something that He stresses all through the Word of God. But many times in the Word of God, we don't fully understand what it is to worship. But God makes it so clear. He points it so beautifully that we will not leave this morning with a shadow of a doubt of what true worship is about. It won't be because of what I say. It's what God's already said in His precious word. In the book of Genesis, chapter 22. But let's look at some misconceptions. First of all, we see in the Word of God the word worship used a lot, particularly in the New Testament. Remember when Herod the king, he heard about the wise men that had come from afar. And they said, "We have come to worship." Now, they were sincere in their heart. They put a lot of effort into it. They wanted to truly worship the babe, Christ Jesus. And that's an indication that God's going to reveal to them. Because it starts with the heart's desire. So Herod uses the same word. He said, "When you find him, come and let me know so I can worship him also." So just saying the word obviously doesn't do it. It has to come from the heart. We want to look at the prerequisites of worship. Some things God has pinpointed in His precious word. And we know for a fact that when He puts something in His word, that God will enlighten them. The first time He mentions that word worship is where we're going this morning. And that will be in Genesis chapter 22. Because God introduces a subject that important, He will surely put a lot of things around it in detail so we will know that we will know for sure what it is to worship our Lord and Savior. It will apply to you. It definitely applies to me. In Genesis chapter 22, verse 1, "And it came to pass after these things." Now, we know there's some important things going on in the previous chapter, and we'll have to deal with that. Gladly. "These things that God did tempt Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am." That's one thing we see right there. When God speaks, it doesn't matter what He's going to say. It's going to be good. It's going to be right. Maybe a little hard for us to handle. But Abraham said, "Behold, I am here. Speak, Lord." The desire to know more about God is very important in their lives, or there won't be any worship. This morning, we're gathered in this house. We call it a worship service, and truly it is. But it makes a lot of difference whether or not we'll leave this morning by truly worshiping, and that will be determined in large part by the desire of our heart. Do we really want to worship Him? And if we do, we'll put some actions into it. Then the second verse he said, "And he said," now this is God speaking, "Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of." That sounds pretty hard, doesn't it? That's really hard. But if the desire to worship is enough, there'll be a lot of trust going into the equation. And the prerequisite for worship will be for Abraham to not only hear what God says, but believe what God says. And with the strongest desire he possibly can have to carry out what God is asking to do. And if he doesn't, there won't be any worship. "And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. He's ready to go. There's no indication that he ever went back and questioned God. There's no indication that he said, "Now, God, are you sure? Can't there be a better way? You know how long I've waited for Isaac, Sarah, and myself, and now you're asking?" No, none of that. It was 100%. God said it. I'm going to do it because I want to worship the Lord. So the indication for you and I this morning, we have his precious word. He's already spoken. We know what he desires for us to do. And if we will desire, we're not perfect, and neither was Abraham. He made a lot of mistakes up till now, but he wanted to worship the Lord. And now he's going to do exactly what God bid him to do. Verse 4. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Remember, one of the things was, you go to the land that I'll show you, Mount Moriah, and there some were, and it took him 3 days before he could even see the mountain in his traveling. He was going by faith. And he didn't know what he was going to do, where he was going to go. But you see, you start this journey, and God is not required to tell us everything when he asks us something to do. But if the desire, remember, the Bible says God tempted. He tried him. He wanted to prove him. And if the desire to worship is in there, then what God tells us to do will prove whether or not we really intend to worship him. And Abraham said unto his young men, "Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you." First time he uses that word worship. I want to worship God. I want to know more about him. And the only way I can is to be very intent on serving him. Let's look at 5 things this morning in this, and we're going to go other places in the Word of God. First of all, let's look at the intercession or the entreating that Abraham had. He had been interceding to God before this. Turn your Bibles one chapter back, verses 21, and look at this verse, 21:33. See, God's going to initiate something, but before, Abraham had to initiate something. We're talking about saved people, of course. When we're lost and undone, God comes to us because we're dead in trespasses and sin. We can't get to God, so God does the first. But then after salvation, James says, "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you." And Abraham now, in this verse of Scripture, Genesis 21:33, "And Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba." God had told him the land there. He has got a family. He's starting to till the land. He's starting to plant the vineyard. He has settled in where God wants him to be. He's already obeyed God, made mistakes, but got forgiveness. And now, after he had settled in, he realized that, hey, I need to have intercession. I need to entreat God. I need to ask God for help. And that is our daily life. We are where God put us, every one of us. You may be in transition, headed somewhere else, but right now, at this present time, we're where God allowed us to be and put us. And hopefully we're content in that. But in that contentment, we know that we need to entreat God. We know we need to ask of him. We need to have an intercession with him. So the Bible says after he had settled down, he called there. He entreated. He instructed. He was asking God for mercy and grace and help. And he called on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And after he had interceded to God, he entreated God, then God reacted. In the very next chapter, God spoke to him. And we have God's word, we read it. And then if you really are intent to worship, God speaks to us not only in the word, but through the word. And he speaks to my heart and he tells me what he wants me to do, where he wants me to go, how he wants me to act, all those things, because I want to worship him. And if I want to worship him, and if I want to hear from God, and God knows my heart, he knows yours. And if you really have the desire like Abraham just did in chapter 21, verse 33, he called on the name of the Lord. He wanted to know more about God. He wanted to worship, and God's going to open up the way for him. Now let's look at the instruction that was given for God. First of all, we see the purpose. God always tells us the purpose. Why did God speak to him? To tempt him, to prove him, to try him, to see if that intercession, that entreating that he had just done in the previous chapter was really sincere. If you really want to worship me, then you're going to follow me in detail every end. And then God talked about the program. Not only he told him what he was wanting to do, but he told him the program. 4 points in the program. First of all, you take your son. They had another son, remember, but he wasn't the promised son. So you take your promised son, the one that I promised you, the one that I gave you, the one that's going to inherit everything. You take him. And you go to this place that I'll show you. And there, I'll show you what to do. But in detail, you're going to offer your son, your only son, that you love, a sacrifice to me, to show me how much you love me, how much you desire to worship me. Then you're going to offer a sacrifice. God asked you and I for sacrifices. Paul told us what that sacrifice would be. Present yourself wholly unto the Lord. That's just your reasonable service. And if I really want to worship God, and surely I do, because there's some blessings that come with worship, a lot of blessings. In fact, there's no blessings that's going to flow our way unless we worship the Lord, our God. The Samaritan woman knew that. Remember, Samaritan woman, she talked about worship, and we worship. And Jesus said to her, you worship, you know not what. You don't know what you're worshiping. If you want to worship, you're going to worship in spirit and in truth. You're going to worship the Lord God. So the Samaritan woman talked about worship, but she didn't have any idea what it was because there was no desire in her heart. She wasn't worshiping the true God. But Abraham has that intent. And if we have that intent, God will surely open up the way. So he was also letting other people get involved because Isaac, remember, is going to be there. And we don't have time to go in detail all that happened up on the mountain. That's not the point of the message. We already know that he takes his son Isaac up there. And God says, offer him a sacrifice. He took the wood. And remember, Isaac questioned a little bit. But as he was bound, an angel of the Lord spoke and said, do him no harm because God has already provided. We know that was the type of Lord Jesus Christ that was going to be provided for our sacrifice. He paid the supreme price for our sacrifice. Therefore, we worship the Lord God in spirit and in truth. So now Abraham has been instructed what to do. But true worship is going to come on his part if he follows that. So let's look at his inclined heart. When God speaks and he tells us the program to tempt us, you go here, and don't worry about the details. It took him 3 days traveling before God even showed him where to go. And sometimes God will speak to your heart. He's trying it. He's testing it. He'll say, do a certain thing, and sometimes we are not willing to go by faith. So we start questioning God. If you really mean that, God, do this or this. No, Abraham didn't do that. He went immediately. He took the ass. He took his servants. And he even made the proclamation, I will go yonder. You know what that means? When he goes yonder, the word in the Hebrew means I'll be thus. Just as he told me, that word yonder means that. It means I'll go just as he told me, where he told me, as he told me, and follow all the details. And if I'll go yonder, if I'll follow all the details, I will come back. And while I'm about it, it will provide worship. How important. And if that is our desire, our heart's desire, and we incline our heart to do what God bid us to do. Look at the process in verse 5 again. And Abraham said to the young man, abide here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder. We will go thus. We will follow in detail his instructions as he gives them. In generality, he said, go to that area. And as he is headed there, God shows him, there it is, there it is. And we say, God, open door for us. And a lot of times God will say, well, if you'll do this, I'll open the door. and you just go toward that closed door, and when you get there, I'll open the door. That's faith. That's a promise that God would. And look at the place, verse 3. Abraham rose up early, saddled his ass, and he went into the place where God told him to go. He went to the place, the area. Didn't know the details, didn't know the particular man. And of course, that was Calvary. That's where Christ is going to be crucified. That's where Christ is going to give his life as a supreme sacrifice, for that place in that general area where Isaac was going to be offered, but God provided himself a ram, a substitute, Christ Jesus, shed blood. And look at the promise. He says, I will return. Worship will be mine because I have entreated my heart. I have invested all that God said to do. I have inclined my heart to follow the plan of God. Well, let's look at the inheritance that comes. Because he went and he did exactly what God's watching all the time. He's looking at you. He's looking at me. We have the word of God. We know what he wants us to do. But sometimes in detail, he tells us a specific thing, a specific set of instructions. And that's where true worship comes in. That's where you really pour your heart out to the Lord. Let's look at Genesis 22:15. Let's look at the inheritance. The inheritance the Lord gives us after we have truly worshiped and done what God wants us to do and inclined our ear. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham out of heaven the second time. Remember, the angel was up there just as he drew the knife, just as he was about to slay his son. The angel spoke and says, no, God's already provided. And now Isaac gets up, and Isaac, of course, is the type of Christ, and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because I have done this thing and hath not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee. Isn't that wonderful? Because you were faithful. You inclined your ear. You obeyed my word. You went to the place. You were interested in my program. You didn't understand it, but you were going to carry it out. And because you did this, I will bless thee, and in multiplying, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. I know this was for Abraham. I know it was a type, because he's going to also be in the lineage of Christ, but it also applies to you and I. This is a pattern for worship. He set it out in detail. First time he mentioned it. And if we're going to worship the Lord our God in spirit and in truth, as Jesus told Samaritan woman, we have to carry out the plan, the place. Everything is so important, but most of all, a desire. Abraham had a desire to worship. He inclined his ear and he went where God told him to go, and it ended up in blessings. God wants to bless us, and he will. And the reason he will, if we'll incline our ear and we in our heart desire. But I want to look at the second thing. Not only Abraham, but he gives many other prerequisites. Turn your Bibles, please, to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 1, verse 3. We see now another young woman who is in the picture of worship. Her and her husband and the husband's other wife had two wives. God didn't tell them to, but they did, and God forgives. And now on the way to worship at Shiloh, they had not gone to Jerusalem to worship yet. The tabernacle was set up in Shiloh, and God required. So I want to look at entreating to the Lord to worship. They are asking. They are seeking. And this family goes up this particular time. They go three times a year. This is the feast of the Passover. And they're going up, and they're going to worship. God already said this word that you go up to not Jerusalem now, is not Jerusalem, but you go to the house of the Lord at Shiloh then. And if you'll do that, you can worship. Remember, instructions by God. And when he tells us what to do, if we go to the place and we take the sacrifice ourselves and we're obedient to him, it'll end up in worship. So they're headed there. Let's look at the text. 1 Samuel 1, verse 3. And this man, went up out of a city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord, the czar of his house. God already said to do it, and he's not doing it just because it's his duty. We come to the house of the Lord this morning because it's our duty, number one. But more importantly, we come to the house of the Lord because it's in their heart. Just can't wait to get there. Wake up in the middle of the night many, many times. I got in the bed last night at 3 o'clock. It's so on my heart. And I woke up at least 4 times and got up because my heart is so inclined to worship. And I want other people to be able to worship. And I want to use God's word to instruct and show what God desires for us to do to worship. And now they had the reason they're going to worship, and they're taking the sacrifice, and they're taking their self, and they're taking the other sacrifice of the host in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. We don't have time to get into that later on. We see they were not true servants of God, but yet they were fulfilling their duty. There's a lot of people, no doubt, that's in the place not fulfilling a duty, but that's not important right now in the text. In verse 4, and when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Penah his wife and to her sons and her daughters portions. He wants to make it a family matter. That's what God did with Abraham. Take Isaac. Isaac is there. He sees. Don't you think they had a lifetime bearing with Isaac, that teenage boy that was about to die, but yet the sacrifice was made? Boy, his life was changed forever. And God has a, you bring your children, you bring your grandchildren to the house of God to worship and to let them see the importance of worship. And now the whole household is involved. To the children, they all have portions because taking their sacrifices and giving it to the Lord. But then to Hannah, he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. The Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sons, her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. We see here also when you're entreated to worship, as Hannah was, as her husband was, that the devil comes in, and the devil in this particular one is the other wife. She had children, and she was poking fun, not just this year, but the year before, every year. And when your heart is inclined to worship, the adversary will show up. Whether it be in this case, the other wife, I don't know, it's not a sister-in-law, I don't know how you say that, but anyway, the other wife, she was the one provoking her, and her heart was tender. She wanted to go worship the Lord, and every year there was a stumbling block, somebody trying to get her out of the way spiritually so the worship would be in vain. Oh, she'll go through the motion. She would go through the process because her husband would give her the material, the things to offer. But her heart couldn't be in it. It could be in it, but it's very hard because the adversary, the other woman in the picture, and there's always somebody or something that would hinder us. Just think this morning and yesterday and this week, how many things, no doubt, have come in your life and in your way through someone or somebody or something to try to hinder you from being in the house of God this morning, with the only desire that was in your heart was to worship and know more about him, to present yourself and just to love him and adore him. And you know the blessings you're going to come. Ask for them if you want to, that's fine. But if you worship the Lord, the blessings will come. It's already a done deal because he promised that. And now she was going, and every year, same thing. I guess she probably dreaded the trip. All along the journey, all those children, the same husband she had was, and the wife was provoking her, you know, making fun of her, trying to get her out of the frame of mind to worship. But this year was going to be different. She's going to push it all aside. And she has a desire in her heart to entreat the Lord, to ask of him. And if you want to worship and desire, God has an open door for you to ask possessions. Verse 6, and their adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore, she wept and did not eat. This year, I'm going to be different. I'm going to move that out of my mind. All the things that's been troubling me, all the hindering causes, all the blockages that's kept me from worship. Help me, God. I'm weeping. I'm trusting. Get them out of the picture, because I'm not leaving here until I worship. And you can do that. And we need to do that constantly, because the adversary will provoke and will try to tear down if we have intent in their heart to worship. But let's see what happened. Even though she's fearful and miserable, verse 10, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. The more the adversary provoked her, the more she was willing to pour her heart out to show God her earnest desire. I want to worship. I want to ask you something, Lord. I want to get this off my back, so to speak. I want a man child, not just for my own lust, but I want to have this man child for your glory. That's an important thing. If we ask something of the Lord and it is entirely, solely for his glory, he's going to do it. And now she's getting the adversary picture out of her mind. She's weeping. She's crying. And look what happens, verse 11. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou will indeed look on the afflictions of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Lord, if you'll give it to me, yes, I want a child for myself, but more importantly, I want him for your glory. And to prove it, I'm going to give him, dedicate him to him. And that's what we need to do with our children, even when they're in the womb of the mother. Give them unto the Lord. Knowing, yeah, we're going to enjoy and we're going to have pleasure in rearing our children. But more importantly, Lord, I want to rear that child. I want to teach him the values of worship. I want to treat that daughter. I want to help my children. And Lord, I give them to you. And she did that. But more importantly, she's going to carry through with it. Look at verse, it's 20, 19 and 20. She had worshiped the Lord there because she poured out her heart. And that's what worship is, right? We give ourselves to the Lord. We take the sacrifice, which is herself. She had other sacrifices in those days. But now we bring ourselves to him, and we weep sore. We pour our heart out to God, and we say, Lord, get rid of any hindering cause, whether it's in my heart or something somebody else has done. Get rid of it, Lord, and he will. And that leads to worship. And she worshiped the Lord. And as she's going back, she left all her cares and worries there. Verse 19 and 20. And they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord. Adversary is still out there, but it's not bothering her. She has a promise from the Lord because she poured her heart out. She inclined her heart to the Lord. She entreated the Lord. And the instructions came, remember, from Eli. The instruction says, go, and God will grant your wish. And returned and came to their house to Ramah. And the Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come, about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. And the next year, when the husband was going back up to the house of God. She said, I can't go this year. I have a child, still a suckling child. But the next year, when the child was weaned, she did exactly what she told God she'd do. She took him to the house of the Lord and left him there. And he ministered, the great prophet Samuel he was. Why did God give her that special son? Because she had the desire to worship. Why did God bless Abraham? Because he had the desire to worship, and he carried out in detail every instruction, everything God wanted me to do. We have instructions. They're not hard. A lot of people say it's so hard to serve the Lord. Not if you desire to. If you desire to, it's hard not to serve him, because the blessings are so plentifully. The worship is so... When you worship the Lord, is there anything in the world that even can compare a little bit to that? True worship, the Spirit of the Lord, the peace, the joy it brings. It all begins with the desire to worship. And yes, obstacles are there and they will come. They can be spitting out of the way by the grace of God. Would you stand this morning? Your heads are bowed. Musicians, please come play what God puts on your heart. This morning I've spoken to a wonderful congregation. God's in this place. God's spoken to your heart. And if you, as an individual, have a desire in your heart to worship, God will show you in detail. He's already shown us, but I'm talking about more specifically in detail some areas of your life. And yeah, I already painted the picture. The adversary will be there, but you can overcome it through the mercy and grace of the Lord. What a beautiful thing it is to worship the Lord. As Jesus told the Samaritan woman, only one way to do it, in spirit and in truth. Truth from God's word. Three requisites for worship. And they work every time. Already been tried and proven. It'll work in your heart. It'll work in my heart. Oh, how we need to worship. Lord Jesus, thank you for your blessed word. I thank you for the peace, the joy. Lord, I thank you for the blessings that you provide. And I thank you, Father, that even though the adversaries are there and they trouble and try to tear down, Lord, if we have a desire like Hannah did, and we weep, and we travail, and we entreat you, and ask of you, you will provide, and it will bring glory and honor to your name, just as it did her. And thank you for these patterns. Thank you for your truth and your precious word. We love you so very much. Help us, Father, in this revival. Lord, it's your revival. God, we just come and ask nightly that you'll give us the desires of our heart. And those desires would be to be more like you and to worship. And then the blessings will come. And the fruit will come. The fruit of Hannah's womb. And Father, there will be children birthed in the kingdom of God. If we, your children, we'll just follow these precepts. She had a son, a godly son. And children will be birthed into your kingdom. If and truly we will have a desire to worship and carry through with your plan. I bless your name. Thank you for all you do for us. Thank you for meeting with us this morning, Father. For the cross, the landmark that leads home. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.